Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Make Trades Great Again podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Bradford White and Vega ProPress.
2-1, and you probably have a red blinky light that says we're recording. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Make Trades Great Again podcast. Andy, how are you, man?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'd like to thank Chris Armstrong for joining us. Everybody, welcome Chris, owner of Armstrong Plumbing in New York. You might know him on Instagram as, it's P.S. the Plumber, right? Yeah. That's what I do every time. Like, even when Chad is on, I'm like, I don't even know your Instagram handle. Like, I don't know. It's like phone numbers, right? You just look for the picture, or you just know. You don't really read it.
Yeah, I remember numbers from 30 years ago, but I couldn't tell you people that I talk to every day because it's just call Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There I have I have no idea what my mom's phone number is. I couldn't tell you because it's not the number I grew up at home with. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Chris, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
How is the heating season up there in New York treating you?
Dude, honestly, this year is the latest kind of start I've had. Like, normally we start gearing up in like the end of September. Things start usually kicking in early October.
Yep.
I haven't done a boiler in a month. Like, I've got stuff lined up and calls coming in, but basic service is half. Like, I'm getting all these service calls for just like basic plumbing stuff and just random things. Like, usually you're bombarded with heat calls and stuff like that. And this year's, although it's going to be really cold and there's plenty of stuff going on, it's definitely not ramped up yet. This is the latest I've ever seen it around here as far as it not being that cold yet. Like, it right now it's probably 20 degrees, but it's been a little bit warm. And I don't know, just the way the world's been a little wonky lately. Like, people haven't been setting things up for until things break. People aren't scheduling service as much as usual and things like that. And I haven't had as much breakdowns yet, but now it's supposed to get super cold. So it'll be coming in.
It'll come.
yeah, you're right, Andy. You got busy kind of the same time I did. Although we had a long fall, it seemed like it didn't really hamper that kind of work around here. Maybe just because they just know it's going to get cold. You know what I mean?
Well, and I guess for me, it's been a little bit weird this year too, because I'm not doing the boiler installs. And in all the years past, I mean, that was all my bread and butter. You know, that was what I was doing the installs. And we've kind of geared Rob up to do that. And he's been taking them, which has been freaking awesome. And he does an awesome job at it. But so it's a little bit weird, like mentally, I look at it and go, oh, you know, we haven't put that many boilers in. And we've had a good year. It's definitely slower for installs than it was last year. And I don't know why that is, but I don't feel like I even bid that many. Wasn't like I'm bidding them too high and not getting them, but they're just
inflation.
I think around here, the heat pump is starting to rule king.
Yeah.
And these, you know, and now that, you know, not that there's too many of them, but a lot of people, there's a lot of buzz about the, you know, the air to water systems coming out and stuff. So I'm going to try to get into looking at see what the new Taco unit's offering. Cause right now the only stuff I think is pretty much like Canadian kind of equipment that I've seen that people are kind of bringing up to me. And, like, I don't know, it's finding somebody to purchase from and how fast I can get it. And do I know what I'm doing with it when I get it, you know? Right. So at least I know Taco's, I could get good training if I need it and have people to call that are going to answer. So I'm going to see what that's all about, because around here, like, that the only thing I could say is like boilers, like oil. We had so much oil around here upstate, further from the city. It's everything in municipalities all gas, but like oil is just a dinosaur. It's dead. I'm doing it, some of it still, but replacements. Wow. I might have done 3 oil boilers last year. You know, 10 years ago, we would do like 5-6 a month, and then gas boilers. Now none. It's just once in a while. I did like 1 boiler last year, 2 boilers, 3, maybe 3. And it, which is good, cause I'm sick of oil, but even gas stuff, it's like people, like I posted a video a little while ago about putting in an electric water heater from a gas water heater, and people were just giving me tons of flack on it. And They're like, oh, put a tank. It's like the lady, it's a weekend house. You know, the lady's there literally on the weekends. It's a single woman. She has a 50-gallon electric water heater that's modern. She doesn't have a liner. She doesn't want to pay the money for all this stuff. And a lot of these people, there's now this like climate fossil fuel stigma, no matter what the efficiency ratings are, that a lot of people are just convinced that it's evil. They don't want it. It's going away kind of thing. So,
yeah,
we're seeing the same thing. I've got a couple of customers that are willing to throw a lot of money at doing some weird things that I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You're on natural gas.
Yes.
We got cheap gas here. Why are we looking at electric? Like, this doesn't even make sense.
We did the math. Yeah. And climate aside, we did the math in a recent episode. And I guess I got some feedback on that episode, Andy. It seemed it seemed like people thought we should have got to the point sooner. But either way, we did the math on fuel costs, and it was eye opening. I mean, we do a lot of electric in Minnesota. Electric is not historic. It's in comparison to a lot of areas of the country, it's pretty low. We're not like hydro low like they have up in Canada and stuff like that. But you're looking at like 10, 11 cents per kilowatt hour, which is relatively inexpensive compared to a lot of parts of the country. And then there are incentive programs to use electric for space heating, so they'll knock you way down on price and things like that. But anyway. We did the math. So I know electric's high. I didn't realize it was going to be so freaking high. And again, back to that whole idea of, you know, comparing one fuel to the next, you brought up already, Chris, the heat pumps and stuff like that. So we can talk about electric rates and how expensive it is, but then we have to have like this asterisk, like this disclaimer saying like, well, but on a heat pump system, you know, problem with these heat pump systems is they're not, they're not yet capable of handling every area of our country or North America, put it at that. People say things like, oh, well, they've used them in Sweden forever. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's freaking awesome. But when it gets cold in Sweden, they just grab a whole bunch of blankets and sweaters and start their
their
little stove or something.
Even though they're rated to handle some of the temperatures that we're dealing with now, what people also don't get is that same thing. If I put a hyperheat system in with seven heads, you know, it's going to hit defrost mode, you know, that's that load, and it'll run down to, you know, what we need, but it's going to shut down. And if you don't have a structure that's adequate to keep that heat in and be comfortable, like in a balloon construction old house around here, people think they can just put a Mitsubishi in and it's going to be the answer to their prayers. And I'm like, yeah. Or they think they could be in the city, right? So they're leaving Manhattan. They're like, all right, I'm headed home. And they go to their Wi-Fi on their phone, and then they turn their heat up from 50 to 72, and they think it's going to be 72 in an hour in there. And I'm like, it's a slow, steady road on those things. They're not dumping heat like, a Vitadin's 200, where when you crank your thermostat, it's not just turning out heat. It's, so a lot of people, that's a big thing. There's so many little caveats to heat pump operating and conflicting with multiple systems and things like that. So a lot of people just add ahead. Like I just did a job where I put an 18,000 in there. They have a, you know, high efficiency, high oil furnace in the basement. And the guy's like, I turn this off at this time of day and turn that on. I'm like, just leave the heat pump on, get what you can out of it, and turn your regular thermostat, you know, a couple degrees lower. But this guy had this whole crazy plan on how he would try to do things. And I'm like, you don't need to do that. But
You meet a lot of people over the years. And speaking of over the years, Chris, how long have you been in plumbing and heating? Like what's your start story? How did you get into this?
I was like 16 when I started. Like I was one of those kids that like left home real early. You know, I've seen my parents like twice in 20 years, you know, or more.
Really?
So I moved out when I was still in school. Yeah. My stepfather was a crazy alcoholic that would like, you'd come home and try not to look at him. So he'd be like, what are you looking at? And pick you right up by the neck. You know, I had to get out of that place. It was a toxic house, you know? So, I got out pretty quick when I was young, and then I just went to school and, I had jobs, you know, and I had my own little dump apartment on the third floor in the hood where my stereo would get stolen every other day. My $10 Jensen, you know, and it was pretty much, I just needed to work. So I ended up getting some side work with a plumber in like Westchester. And started, I don't know, what was I making, $5 an hour, whatever it was back then, just smashing bathtubs and carrying stuff, you know, being that guy. And then it just kind of slowly, I started to actually have interest in it. And then I started to be able to do things, and it just turned into, you know, I became valuable. And then I, you know, enjoyed the fact that I could know things and be able to do stuff more in that line of work, you know. And then I just took it back then. There wasn't really much going on with computers and stuff. So I started getting, I even go to the supply house, you know, I'd look through catalogs and books, figured out what everything was, so I didn't look like a fool trying to ask for, you know, that fitting that does the thing with the part on it, you know.
I still,
and then it rolled into, you know, getting good jobs and getting paid way more than I ever thought I could make. And then getting special training. And I used to work for, I was a mechanic for the water and sewer department for a little while, and down above, just above the city. And got paid to do a ton of training, electrical systems controls, pneumatic controls, all sorts of pump work for commercial pumps and stuff like that. And that just rolled into me. I basically got begged to come work for a very prominent high-paced service company, which I had never really done at that point. We were doing like renovations, and they asked me to do a ride through. So I basically called in a sick day after being harassed from this guy to come check him out. And I get in a van in his uniform with one of his guys. We had like 26 vans at that outfit at the time. And wouldn't you know it, the job we go to, my boss and my crew are doing a water service one house down.
No.
I swear to God, I get out of the van. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like,
yeah,
dude, I was like, oh my God, that's my boss, dude. So I get out. He looks at me, nods his head. I go in with these guys. And the tech that I was with showed me his paycheck that week. And this is 20 something years ago, you know, it was like $2,800. I'm like, get out of here.
Oof.
And then he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll be honest with you. You know, if you want to make the money, it's here. It was an all commission company. And, you know, back then I was making like $42,000, and that was huge money for me. You know, I was used to making $20,000+, you know? So I was like, I'm doing great. I got a, you know, county job. Long story short, I went to work the next day. My boss was like, anything you want to tell me? He's like, you're leaving, aren't you? I was like, it appears that I'm going to be leaving. So that first year I worked there back then, I made, I think, $109,000. And that was a huge money. Like, my goal back was to make $50,000, man. I had so many checks. Some weeks you'd make $5,000, you know. It was wild. So that's how I got started in it. And then I kept doing it until I had enough people. Like, I didn't never try to start a business. I basically gave my notice after a few years with that company because it was like blood money. It felt like to me, a lot of it. And
a lot of sales driven.
And
work,
yeah,
right?
You're working a shift, say 8 to 5, and you're an hour from home and it's 4:30, and they're like, oh, there's another call in Yonkers you got to go to. And you're like, oh, come on, that's another half hour south. Then So yeah, it got to the point where I had like 6 or 8 weeks of checks. That was a huge amount of money that I didn't even get a chance to go to the bank for. And like I said, I just felt taken advantage of a lot of times. And some of the prices were just not fair to the customers. And some of the guys, because of the commission and the integrity of those people, you know, they did things that I wasn't comfortable with. And I didn't, you know what I mean? That I just gave them a month's notice. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And the next day I came to work and my boss was pretty much like, you're fired. Get out of my van. You made all this money. And he left me outside in the cold with my tools and wouldn't let me in the shop. So, and again, I called my friend. I'm like, dude, you got to come get me, freezing out here. It was a thing. Like it came close to being a real problem for that guy.
That's crazy.
A few months went by and I just kept doing work for, you know, people that I did side work for. And that was how it turned out. One of my buddies was like, you can find a job yet? I'm like, no, I've been too busy working. And that's just kind of how I started. So I've been working for myself since 2004, end of 2004. And that's just, here I am, you know what I mean? It's not like I was trying to do this. It just happened.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome though. Like you're coming up on almost 20 years of self-employment and working as a salesperson for, you know, sales. And I say sales because that's what that is, man. That's a sales job. And you happen to know how to do, you know, plumbing. You know what I mean? Like those companies exist on adding one more, you know, line item to the invoice for 100%. That call. And, you know, look, there's nothing, I, you know, there can be some very honest, very, you know, good people doing that work. And then there can be, like you were, you know, alluding to, like there can be some otherwise maybe questionable people, put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's every trade. I don't care what trade it is.
Yeah. Even if you're,
or
if
what
you're,
industry.
The upsell kind of theory. I'm not big into that. I am big into seeing things and giving people a very realistic scale of how sketchy or necessary that you should look at this, you should do this, or this is really bad, or, but you know, again, I don't pressure people to spend their money. I like I said, it just doesn't matter. There's always, the phone always rings. So I feel like I'd rather give people, you know, honest options on, like, if you don't have the budget to do this, here's what we can do. This, it's the interesting dynamic with Instagram too, is you, people are like, why didn't you do this? And, you know, a guy, it's funny, a guy on that video I posted about this little shower valve rebuild I did the other day, no big deal, old school, you know, late 30s, mid 30s, American Standard. And guy's like, cut it out,
just
bro.
Just watched it this morning.
He's like, cut it out, bro. And I'm like, it's tiled on both sides. The people wanted the period look because all the right stuff was in there. It's not super mint, but so I got the right parts to put in there. That style has the cartridge slides and everything in it. So this, it's all new stuff. The body just holds those parts. It doesn't, has no function. Cleaned it all up, greased, put it all in. The guy's like, just cut it out. And I'm like, what are you implying? I should cut it out, a big goofy oval, and put a posi temp in there with some plastic chrome trim? Like, what do you mean? Like, I told him the story and he was like, don't get your panties in a bunch. What I'm saying, he's like, anyone can put lipstick on a pig. He's like, what I'm saying is have a tile guy come in, cut out the tiles, put a new body in, put the tiles back. And then you're good. And I'm like, I don't think you're getting it. For starters, it's not even legal for me to put 2 and 3 handle valves in anymore unless I can get pressure balance stuff. So when I do that, now
you can
screwed.
Put the valve ahead of them. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, dude, people, what, now all of a sudden you're telling me that these people should have to pay thousands of dollars to put a the same thing that I just rebuilt for a couple $100. Like, I don't get people's mindset. And that somebody was like, oh, you're not getting rid of the tub spout. I'm like, dude, that's a beautiful 5-pound solid brass, beautiful American standard tub. Should I put in a hollow plastic Delta one that?
Yeah, I'm just. It's I mean, it works, baffled. But it's junk in comparison. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. It sounds like you're. I think I don't want to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong. But Andy and I kind of align on this. It's we do the good, better, best a lot, and acknowledging that it can help increase your sales if that's how you want to look at it. And that's important to look at things that way. But we do it based off of, like, the good is like, here's what you got to do. You have to do this. The better is like, you know, if you can afford it, this, you're going to be a little happier. I'm going to admit this is more of a creature comfort kind of thing. And then the best is like, hey, look, I wouldn't recommend this if I didn't think it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's our approach on the good, better, best. You know, bare bones, this is a little better for sure. And hey, if you can afford the best, let's go with this because you're going to be happiest.
Absolutely.
And you know, but from a sales perspective, we're running companies here and we got a mortgage at home or whatever it is you're trying to put money in the bank. I don't care what you need to earn your money for. You still have acknowledged and identified the fact that you need to earn your money and you're not doing this for free. So sometimes, you know, it's perspective. Like, it sounds like you're kind of along that line because it's not about like just upselling them on something.
Yeah, there's customer budget. There's, you know, there's honestly the quality of or the condition. Like, there's a lot of renters. For example, there's a lot of buildings around here that are multi-unit in the city area that are multi-unit buildings and. They need new boilers. And a lot of people are like, oh, like everybody wants to sell 4 Navi and NCB combis or some other thing, you know? And it's like, here's the deal. And I talk to these landlords and I'm like, listen, you're never going to do the maintenance. You're never going to, you know, you're going to be so disappointed when these machines are destroyed in a few years. Then you're going to be like, because 5 years old, 6 years old is brand new to people that just spent thousands of dollars. You know, that's still brand new to the customer. They consider although it's, I look at it like, I'm like, it's half a decade, but they're not willing to do that work. So I'm like, hey, you know what? If you're going to do, if you want it to be bare bones, let's put in a little Weil McLean, a little workhorse. You know what I mean? Let's just put the damn liner in or get a little direct vent. The tenant's paying the gas bill anyway. And then you're not going to have all the breakdowns and the unreliability because you're never going to call me unless something breaks. And that's just how it goes. So there's, people try to just sell all this stuff. And I know you just had that talk about the Renai and the tankless and the, you know, the cost. There's certain places where it just makes sense to put them in. And then there's certain places where they don't necessarily need that. Like I said, a lot of the homes up here, people don't even ever come to them. So it's like,
well, yeah, on the tankless side, that's almost like when people come, we have a lot of, we call them cabins, you know, lake homes, whatever, weekend places, second homes, you name it. In Minnesota, it's called a cabin, and these people have these lake cabins, these lake homes, and they go to, you know, their intent is to go there every weekend, but in reality, they're there once a month, maybe in the summer, maybe a couple times a month. And you could look at that three different ways. 100 different ways. You know, what water heater, for example, what should I put in there? I need a new one. Well, what did you have? Electric water heater. How old was it? Oh, I bet you it's 25 years. Well, it sounds like you should put another electric water heater in. It sounds like you got great water. You don't use it too hard. And your water heater lasted you 25 years. Like, I don't know how you can ask for anything more than that.
Right.
You know, right. You know, a lot of times it's reality based. And so like you brought it up a second ago, and I want to ask Andy this too, because the two of you, I feel like we are very, very much the same in how we look at this, but in how we deal with it so COVID came along and we saw material shortages and like all of a sudden you couldn't get this, couldn't get that. And it sucked and it slowed you down and it made you kind of shift gears and like, okay, well, what can we do? And you probably tried new equipment, probably tried new brands of this or that. I'm sure you did because you were forced to. But now you brought it up a minute ago, Chris, just the cast iron boiler situation. So I know Andy and I are putting a lot of high efficient equipment in constantly. And I have put in a couple cast iron boilers this year. I seem to put in a couple each year, but you know what I found out this year? And Andy, I'm not sure if you've even looked into it, but all but one of my suppliers doesn't stock cast iron equipment anymore.
Yeah, I don't have
it. It's not on the shelf.
Wow.
No. Well, I take that back. I know that Mountain Supply stocks some slant fin.
No, they're out of business.
Well, no, they still have some slant fin.
Oh, some stock.
Some stock that's sitting there. And I think I've also probably could come up with a Burnham, you know, a little 100 or an 80,000 Burnham PSVH or whatever that thing was, that... You know, but I know that there's not any Weil McLeans anywhere in Missoula.
I don't think it exists in Minnesota anymore.
No, you couldn't even walk into a supply house right now and buy the new Weil McLean. I don't think whatever Weil McLean's current model is. So yeah, I've definitely seen that market basically go away.
Yeah, there's still no shortage here. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We have
no, and that's the same.
Biasi, you know, the triple pass, you know, if, you know, even FW Web brands, the Pure Pro, you know, we've got sure. Those Burnhams, a lot of Buderus boilers are still getting put in. They're still pretty available here. Like, I don't, you know, again, more 9 times out of 10, you're going to see a high efficiency boiler installed in places. Yeah. In my opinion, in certain areas, in certain situations, it's a bad choice. Just because of the fact of the neglect that it's going to see and the,
yeah.
And the lifespan that's, it's not going to have, you know? So that's right. Yeah. And a lot of the guys that are putting them in around here, man, I get so many calls from brand new installs and they're just like, I don't even post some of the stuff because in the video, I'm like sitting here dropping all these F-bombs. And then I look back at it and I'm like, oh my God, I sound like such a jerk. I don't even want to post this. You know what I mean? It's just the things I'm saying. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. And then sometimes, like I said, some of these people are local and follow me. I'm like, I don't want to insult, you know, right. I try to keep it cool with everybody. So I know some of the people who did it and I don't want them to see that I'm trashing their work. So a lot of times, like I don't, like I said, I'm that guy that honestly, like if they called me and a lot of these companies locally do in a jam and I'll work it out with them or help them or FaceTime with them or something like that. So, but, the quality of some of the installs around here, we have some really good installers and then we have some really horribly awful stuff where I'm like, oh my God, like they're just piping in and out with heat packs and looks like hula hoops coming out of the bottom of the thing, like Dr. Octopus. Like, oh, I'm like, oh my God.
Stop following me on my jobs, dude.
Yeah, right. A buddy of mine that's actually an electrician is, I mean, he's not legally supposed to be doing it, but he's installing a bunch of like Navians and stuff. And he's like, what do you think? He's an older guy. Like, I know him. I was at his son's wedding, and you know, I know him very well. He's like, what do you think about that? I'm like, dude, it looks awful. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. I'm like, you didn't put any of these components on. That's not, you know, you did nothing. You literally, as basic bare bones in and out as you can with a machine. I mean, I'm talking not even putting, you know, drop tubes on his TMPs and stuff, like nothing. He just had the PEX just like on the ground loops again. I'm like, why is that okay to you? Like, not only is it okay to him, he thinks it's more, like, totally acceptable. I'm like, right. Dude, that's like crazy. Like the pipes from just vibrating on the floor of the concrete are going to just wear holes in them. And he's like proud of it, showing me. I'm like, why would you show that to me with not thinking that you're going to get ridiculed?
It blows my mind how many people still feel like the service valves on a tankless are optional.
No, yeah.
Like, how is that still a thing?
I don't know, like, man. I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's right in the instructions. Like, you must do this.
Or they just give them to you. Remember, they used to just put them in the box. Like, you use these.
Yeah.
I wish they did now. I've made like a second career out of like other people's crap work. Honest to God, like trying to just share videos saying things like, hey, see these valves? This is what it does. Your pressure relief valve connects to it. It's really nice. And then you can hook a hose to it and you got to clean these things. And I've made videos that say that. I mean, like holding the hand of somebody who might be interested in learning something. First of all, they've got to already admit to themselves that they don't know everything. So A, they don't have a Facebook account, and B, they're not plumbers. And so like, I don't even know why I'm teaching people who aren't plumbers things, but I am. And I've made like the valve kit is a perfect example. Like I see them every day, not every day. I saw one, 2 weeks ago. I saw a Navian on the wall. Look, I'm not going to say that Navian equipment isn't nice. I'm going to say that their tankless is unrivaled. And I'm going to say that with like these things are damn near bulletproof and people still can screw it up.
Yeah.
And they make it's like if all you did is you looked at the one piece of paper sitting on top of the unit when you open the box and you followed the directions on that one. It's just pictures, by the way. If you followed the pictures,
yeah, I know.
You can't screw it up. And people do it. It's just like they tried it. They're like, I wonder how I can fuck this up.
Just thinking of Idiocracy. Why are you trying to read those words?
Right.
Just Yeah.
Oh man, dude.
That's crazy.
And it's mind blowing. It's the same thing. The funny thing is the people that have these fairly new installs, a couple years old, and they're like, oh, it just gets serviced every year. And I'm like, how? It's not set up to be serviced. Like, I can't even do half the job because it's not the components that allow me to do it aren't there. Yeah. Like, I just did an oil boiler. This guy was like, oh, this guy, and I know the company. I've known this guy for 20 some years. And I'm like, I'm not trying to discredit this guy. So I'm like struggling to explain to this guy how I have to strip the chassis of this burner down because it looked like somebody like skinned a cat next to the air band. It was so plugged up, and the whole dude, it was so out of whack. I'm like, dude, all the information I found in 2 seconds by just typing in the model of that machine. I'm like, this is where all the settings should be. This is the wrong nozzle, wrong everything in it. And I'm like, sorry. And it kept breaking down, and then I got it all tuned up. But it's like, it's hard to, you're on a different plane when you come into a job saying, oh, this machine was just serviced because the customer said it was just serviced, and this is that. And then you get there, and you're like, what did they do? Change the filter?
Yeah. Yeah. That was nice of them to swap out your flame rod for you.
It's like, yeah. Like, what are they doing for service on those units? That's literally, they're sitting there with a $20 bill, like cleaning your flame rod and tapping it a couple of times. Maybe the air filter or something.
Well, let me ask you this though. So honest question. If you got to think about it, go ahead. Or just let me have it. Do you think that these companies, these people, this person, whoever it is that's just serviced it and just took that, you know, flame rod out and put a new one in or whatever. How many of those people do you think actually have been taught how to actually, you know, really do the work? And I say that because I wonder and I'll let you answer. I wonder if they know they're not doing, like, if they even know what they're not doing. Does that make sense?
So we're going to stop the episode right here. We want you to tune in again next week, and we're going to finish up this conversation with Chris, and we hope you have an awesome week.